Where there is no wine, there is no love.
Support for The Range comes from McCown Gordon Construction and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
Welcome to The Range, stories about where we live and the people who live here. I'm Tom Schein. We celebrate Valentine's Day with the growing wine industry in Kansas. And Hidden Kansas takes us on a chilly search for bald eagles. But first, let's get down to business with these headlines. There's a glimmer of hope in the mess that is the Boeing 737 MAX. The head of the FAA says a certification flight for the 737 could happen this month, almost a year after the plane was grounded. It's a critical step in Boeing's effort to get the plane flying again. Here's another reminder that although the short-term outlook for Boeing, Wichita, and the 737 MAX is painful, the future holds promise. Boeing said this week from the Singapore Air Show that Southeast Asia will need 4,500 new planes over the next 20 years. The price tag? $710 billion. And McClatchy, the parent company of the Wichita Eagle, filed for bankruptcy this week. An unsustainable debt load and mounting pension obligations made bankruptcy the only option. The Eagle and McClatchy's 29 other papers will continue to operate as the company tries to reorganize. But the move is another indication that no one has yet discovered the secret sauce to rescue print journalism. It's Valentine's Day, and I hope you didn't need that reminder, which means you might be preparing for a night of good food, some chocolate, and maybe a bottle of wine. Kansas is not known as a wine state, but it does have a thriving wine industry. And here to talk with us about that is reporter Nadia Foe.
Hi, Tom.
Give us, if you could, an overview of the Kansas wine industry.
So you're right. Kansas is not known for its wines like maybe California or Washington State, but the region used to be kind of a hub for wine back about a century ago. In 1901, there were 5,000 acres of Kansas vineyards, and this was during an era when Kansas had its own prohibition laws. It kind of declined over the years, but recently it's been rebounding. In 2008, there were 12 licensed wineries. 2016, there were 40, so it's just continuing to grow.
That would probably surprise people that we have 40 wineries in the state. Where are they located?
So mostly on the eastern half of the state. There's a couple within maybe a half-hour drive of Wichita. And actually, Wichita just got its first urban winery. Jenny Dawn Cellars opened at Union Station in November. Jennifer McDonald started it and wants to eventually grow fruit right here in Wichita. I did a story on Jenny Dawn Cellars for KMEW, which was really fun. And one of the things that Jennifer McDonald did talk about was the difficulty of being a Kansas winery when so much of the wine world is on the West Coast.
Because so much of the industry and like technological advances, research, is a lot of it's being done in California, I still try and stay plugged in there because they are the ones kind of moving the industry forward.
So there are challenges, but based on the growth, they don't seem to be insurmountable.
No, not at all. And there are some groups here, the Viticulture Association I mentioned, the Kansas Grape Growers and Winemakers Association, that really are pushing the industry forward, promoting it, making sure it expands and supporting the wineries. The Viticulture Association wants to make sure that Kansas wines are made with 85% grapes grown here in Kansas to really preserve that identity and that distinction of being a Kansas wine. So I think it'll only continue to grow.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day, Tom.
That was KMEW's Nadia Foe. You can hear more of her story on Jenny Dawn Cellars at KMEW.org. People who think Kansas is flat and boring aren't looking very hard, or perhaps not looking at all. Exploring the outdoors in Kansas is always a rewarding experience, even on a blustery winter's day. Luann Stevens takes us to the Chaplin Nature Center in Cowley County for this month's Hidden Kansas.
It's a Saturday morning, and about 40 hardy souls are gathered at the Chaplin Nature Center. We're hoping to spot some bald eagles. Several make their nests here along the Arkansas River.
All right, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Let me welcome you to the Chaplin Nature Center. My name is Sean Sulem. I'm a naturalist, and I'll be one of your guides today.
There are people of all ages, retired couples, millennials, families with young children. This is the first visit for a few, but most are regulars. Silliman shares some eagle facts and then outlines today's hike.
So our plan is to go down to the river. We have about a 3/4 of a mile hike. We'll look across the river to see if we see any eagles that are just perched.
We head out the back door and into the woods. The path winds in and out of the trees, up and down hills, and over a couple of small creeks. It's January, but the landscape is still gorgeous. Green pines against the winter shades of gold and brown. The Chaplin Nature Center is 230 acres of woodlands, prairies, creeks, and a sandbar beach along the Arkansas River, hidden about 5 miles northwest of Arkansas City. We round a corner and Silliman spots an eagle flying in the distance.
He's flying around up there. Where'd he go? Well, I think he might have flown away. Oh, there he goes.
We continue through the woods, and the path is muddy now. It makes hiking more of a challenge, but the kids are fascinated by the many wildlife tracks. Eventually, the woods open up to a huge sandbar next to the Arkansas River.
All right, so we're just about at the river. You can see it behind me. So we won't rush all the way out there on the sandbar. We'll just kind of slowly creep along there.
The sandbar stretches downriver for close to a mile, forming a wide beach of loose sand. Silliman scans the area hopefully with binoculars, then sets up a telescope. The wind is stronger here. It's cold, but the kids don't seem to care, playing in the sand at the water's edge. The group watches and waits, but there are no eagles.
Let's go a little bit further.
We head downstream, trudging through sand, with the river on one side and woods on the other. The kids race ahead. The rest of us are much slower, with boots caked in mud and sand.
Don't be slick, yeah.
Eventually, we reach the end of the sandbar and have to turn around.
Well, I think we're at the end of the line as far as where we can go. Let's want to wade through water.
The eagles are not being cooperative today, and there have been no sightings. In spite of this, the group isn't too disappointed. Most of them are regulars who visit whenever they get a chance.
It's beautiful. Once it greens up through there, it really is nice. It's beautiful.
And then in the summer, you come out here and you got the whole river to yourself. There's never anybody out here.
And there's another eagle hike in a few weeks. Maybe the eagles will show up for that one. I'm Lou Ann Stevens.
Hidden Kansas explores intriguing spots from across our state. To see photos from Lou's hike, head to kmuw.org. And one last thing. It's Valentine's Day, and one out of every four people plans to give a gift today to their pet. The National Retail Federation says consumers will spend $1.7 billion for Spot the Dog and Jingles the Cat. That number has nearly tripled since 2010. Remember, though, the chocolate is for you, not your pets. Thanks for joining us on The Range. The show was produced by Stephen Basaha, Nadia Foe, and Lou Ann Stevens. Torrin Anderson composed our theme music. I'm Tom Schein, and this is KMEW NPR for Wichita.